الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of this universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we have heard the topic for tonight, the wisdom of following one of the schools of jurisprudence. We belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when we discuss the primary sources, we say it is the Quran Sharif first, and the second primary source is the Sunnah and the sayings and actions of Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as enshrined in the Quran itself in so many places. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu atii'u Allah wa atii'u Rasul. O you who believe, that be obedient to Almighty Allah and be obedient to Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Various ayat. Let us start with the topic itself. Every Muslim believes we have to follow the injunctions, the commandments of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala mentioned in the Noble Quran. Secondly, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala sent Mustafa Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as an uswa and qudwa, the best role model, example for humanity and posterity. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Now, my honorable brothers and listeners of Radio Al-Ansar, let us take three verses, and this will solve a lot of problems. Qul, you tell them, O Mustafa Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you love Almighty Allah, fattabi'uni, then you, the ummah muslima, you follow me, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To understand and to appreciate this word, honorable brothers and listeners, you see, ittiba. In English, you will say to imitate immaculately. When you go into the philology of this word, you have a cow. And when that cow gives birth to the calf, that calf is called tabi' in the Arabic language. Why is it called tabi'? Because it follows its mother everywhere. So we are told to follow Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every walk of life. Not only in salat, in our political life, our social life, economic life, all walks of life. Fattabi'uni. What will happen? What are the benefits? Almighty Allah knows human being is such. Ya Allah, I will do that. But what are the incentives? Yuhbibkumullah. You become the beloved of Almighty Allah. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and your sins will be forgiven. But did Almighty Allah confine it to that only? No. Deen of Islam is for all times and all places. So Almighty Allah mentions yet in another place, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. Those people who brought Iman, who brought Islam, the first and the foremost, minal muhajirin wal ansar, the migrants and the helpers, and those who follow them. So for us, the Ahlu Sunnah, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal jama'ah, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum is enshrined in the noble Quran. So we follow Mustafa Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have to follow the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ And those who follow the Muhajirin and Ansar, who embrace Islam. So you have to follow them, Quran says. Radiallahu anhum wa radu'an. With sincerity, and Almighty Allah will be pleased with you, and we will be pleased with Allah. Is that all? No. Then we go to the third verse. Wattabi'. You see everywhere the same word is used? Ittiba'. That, wattabi' sabila man anaba ilay. And follow the path of those people who turn towards me. So what do we learn from here? We have to follow Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to follow the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, the beloved companions and students of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to follow the path of those who turn to Almighty Allah jalla wala, whether you call them awliyaullah, whether you call them fuqaha wahadil ummah, the jurors of this ummah. So these are verses at random I just chose for tonight's topic, and I gave you a brief explanation. Let's go to authentic ahadith. If a person says, I heard Mohana Venkar mentioning, that in our beloved country, South Africa, now we have a group that they say we must believe in the Quran Sharif only. One day on Channel Islam, I got into big problems. You know, sometimes we get into trouble because we want to answer some people. So one brother announced on another radio, that on TV or whatever, many years ago, he said that this woman wearing this niqab and all that is not mentioned in the Quran. Subhanallah. If it's not mentioned in the Quran, does it mean we must reject it? The question came to me, so I took his name, because I wanted to make my point very strongly. I said, Mr. ABC mentioned somewhere that the niqab is not mentioned in the Quran, so therefore you must reject it. I said, my brother, I want to ask you, make me maaf sometime, you know, but we have to give answers like that sometime. I said, brother, I'm sure you circumcised, you know. So please show me in the Quran Sharif where is circumcision mentioned. So obviously his wuzu broke and he was mad with me. You say, I'll take you to court and a lot of things. You take me to court, alhamdulillah, we got no problem. So brothers, you must remember, this is this people here, that when they tell us this type of things here, it's not in the Quran. So brother, if you're believing only in the Quran, then where you found, you read Isha Salat now 4 rakats, please show me in the Quran where it's mentioned. I can give you 1,000 examples like this. So simple it is. The same Nabi of Allah. Allah says, Ati'u Allah wa Ati'u Rasul. Be obedient to Almighty Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it means that after the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, Naqal kufr, kufr nabashid, Naqlul kufri laysa bi kufrin. It means that Ati'u Rasul becomes redundant and it is superfluous now. It has no meaning and no relevance. That is what it means then. If you reject the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam, Allah forbid. Almighty Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ We have revealed to you, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Quran. لِتُبَيِّنَا لِلنَّاسِ You are in Masjid al-Hilal. Every week you hear, MashaAllah, our honorable ustad and sheikh and teacher came here Monday night. Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni just left today. And they said there'll be a bayan. This is the Arabic language. You need to understand and master this language. لِتُبَيِّنَا لِلنَّاسِ Bayan, a lecture. Tabiyin, to explain something in detail. That will be the difference. So your function, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِتُبَيِّنَا لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ Explain to the masses, the public, not only Muslims, لِلنَّاسِ humanity at large, what has been revealed for them. مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ And they must wonder, ponder and reflect. So we must believe in Quran and we must believe in the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That there is unanimity and consensus on that issue. Now let us come to certain ahadith, and I'll give you the references. Irbaz bin Sariyah radiallahu ta'ala reports, one day Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rendered a lecture, and then he said that, Ya Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us such a lecture, like bidding farewell to us, and we were crying, wajilat qulubun, that our hearts were trembling. Then Nabi alayhi sallam told us, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashideen. Addu alayha bin nawajis. You must stick to my sunnah, and you must stick to the sunnah of who? The rightly guided khulafa. I give you 2-3 easy examples. Your adhan here for Jummah goes 10 past 12, quarter past 12, 5 past 12, Friday. Then a quarter to 1 or 1 o'clock or whenever. The second adhan goes in front of the mimbar, in front of the imam, the khatib, when he's sitting on a mimbar. The first adhan, was it day in Nabi alayhi salam's time? It was not there. But you go to any part of the world today, you see it is happening. Who introduced it? Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Can anybody say it is foreign and alien to Islam? No. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashidin. You follow my way and you follow the way of the khulafai rashidin. So already it's showing that the scope is widening. We will follow the master Nabi alayhi salatu salam, and we will follow who? The khulafai rashidin. And this hadith here of alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashidin, mentioned in Tirmidhi, mentioned in Abu Dawood, mentioned in Ibn Majah. Authentic hadith. If anybody knows the science of hadith. Tirmidhi Sharif's hadith. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is preparing the ummah. La adri ma baqa'i fikum. I do not know how long I will still be in your midst. So after me, faqtadu bi hadhain. You follow these two. And then Nabi alayhi salam gestured towards Abi Bakrin wa Umar radiallahu ta'ala numa. So you follow these two eminent companions of mine. Rawahu Tirmidhi, Imam Tirmidhi is mentioned. Is not Nabi alayhi salam telling the Sahaba? Is not Nabi alayhi salam telling the Tabi'een and the succession and the later generations to come? That you follow me, and thereafter you follow Sayyidina Abu Bakr, follow Sayyidina Umar and the rightly guided Khalifs. So already your scope is widening. Remember this. Then we go on. We find that among Sahaba, I just give you 1-2 incidents. You know, inheritance is a very difficult science to master. A person came to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. He was a master of qiraat, mashallah, wa imam, wa qarisab, ye muazzin, he read. Ahsantum ya shaykh, mashallah, he read beautiful Quran. Now my brothers, that they gave Abu Musa al-Ash'ari some question. These are the A's, these are the A's. Yen mansa duet, this ana mansa bruet. You all know Afrikaans? Brothers in the tell, we can't even make a joke in Afrikaans. They don't understand also. Yen mansa duet, this ana mansa bruet. So one person dies, then the bread goes the other's way. You see? Duet and bruet, yeah. So the person passed away. So they came to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He worked it out. SubhanAllah, I made a mistake. They went to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. They go to the great Sahaba, Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. These were the giants. Do we know who's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? SubhanAllah, if you speak of fiqh and jurisprudence, brothers, I'll speak of this tomorrow, but night came in, I just want. Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda, is there in Madinah Munawwara. The people of Iraq come to him and say, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, we need Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu. He says, how can I give you this? This man is our grand mufti here. Today when you speak of grand mufti, you know, in the Arab countries, Muslim countries and that, I don't say all, but many of them you can say. Grand mufti means you first give them a grain and then they give the fatwa. You understand? So, pehle the mufti masail ke batane wale. Ab bhi hai mufti muf ke khane wale. So remember, Iqbal said that. So anyway, honorable brothers, Sayyidina Umar said, how can I give you, I need him here. They pleaded with Sayyidina Umar. Sayyidina Umar said, fine, athar tukum ala nafsi, take Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who leaves Madinah Munawwara, he goes to Iraq. You know what happens in Iraq? From there, the whole Hanafi school started. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is a Sahabi, the Mufti of the Sahaba. You come to his students, Alqama and Aswad. Alqama and Aswad student Ibrahim Nakhi. Ibrahim Nakhi student Hammad. Hammad student Imam Abu Hanifa. Do we understand what I'm talking, my brothers? You must understand each one of the schools are connected to the Sahaba, and the Sahaba are directly connected to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not something they took out from their pocket and those type of things. These were people who were giants. They went to jail. One of the biggest objections I make on the Shias is this, that every day they write in their books, if you come, I'll show you. They say Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, Allah forbid, they used to make masail and all that to suit the governments of the day. Wallahi, what a great buhtan and accusation this is. They went to jail, they were whipped and lashed to preserve this deen of Islam, my brothers. So let's carry on now. So I showed you ittiba'un Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ittiba' of Sahaba. Ittiba' means to imitate immaculately. And ittiba' of man wattabi' sabila man anaba ilay, and you follow those who turn towards me. Now, my brothers, let us go on and see. Now, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah is based there in Kufa in Iraq. The fiqh day is called fiqh ahlil Iraq. Imam Shafi rahimahullah was born in Gaza, Palestine. He comes to Makkah, then he goes Baghdad, he goes in the year 199 to Egypt. In 204 he passes away. Imam Malik rahimahullah, his whole life is in Medina Munawwara. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he wulida bi Baghdad, but wufiya bi Baghdad. He is born in Baghdad and he passes away in Baghdad, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Now, my brothers, what is the reason we say we have to follow a particular school? We say if you don't follow a particular school, what will be the result and the consequences? 99% of the time you will see people will end up following their base desires. See, Quran Kareem tells us, I just take two verses at random. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen that person who has made his God his desires? He might have some knowledge. وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Despite the knowledge, Almighty Allah led him astray. One tafsir is that. One tafsir is عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ, Allah's knowledge. Allah's knowledge is there that this person is gone astray. وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً. His heart is sealed, his mind is sealed, his eyes are closed, his ears are, everything Allah closes. I gave you the best constitution, the greatest Nabi, and you went to follow your base desires. So when we move away from the A'imma Arba'a, then remember that 99% you will end up following your own base desires. Second ayat. وَأَمَّا مَنَ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. And as for that person who fears standing in the court of Almighty Allah, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, and he restrains himself from his base desires. Hawa don't mean our hawa in Gujarati or Urdu or Meman and that, you know, the wind, no. Hawa means to go lower, lower and lower. It means that when a person follows his desires, he debases himself, he lowers himself. So وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, he restrains himself from his base desires. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَىٰ, then Jannat is his resting place. So Allah is giving us a prescription. Now see, we just take three examples. In this day and this age, how? Just now I did a program, Maulana and I were present. From here I did program for Voice of the Cave 6 to 7. Mufti sahab, I gave talaq, that person say. He gave talaq to his wife, three talaq. Now please, can I come out of this? I love my wife. It was in anger, a lot of stories, all that. I want you honorable brothers and listeners of Radio Al-Ansar to understand these maslas properly. We the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah say, whether you are Shafi'i, whether you are Maliki, whether you are Hanafi, whether you are Hanbali, there are three talaqs, fi majlis in wahid, whether in one place or over a period of time, all three talaqs are valid. And remember this ittifaq. There is unanimity, consensus according to all four schools. Now see, the person who gave his wife today, three talaq, this is what these Maulvis and Muftis know. I went to my sheikh. Who is his sheikh? Sheikh Google. Who is his sheikh? Sheikh Google. He say, I went to Sheikh Google and I checked it up. There are many opinions on this thing here. So what you doing? What I just told you now. You're going to play with the Sharia and you will look for loopholes. Now see the ramifications and consequences of this. Imam Shafi said three talaq is three. Imam Abu Hanifa said it's three. Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, all of them rahimahullah. You want further than that? Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, in his Sahih al-Bukhari, his magnum opus, he brought the whole chapter on that, that three talaqs is three. So what will you say then? Because you were the person to say. The only people today who say three talaq is one are the Salafis, some of them, not all. And the Shias. The Shias say three is one. So you see where you landed yourself up now? You want to walk away from the madhab, but you want to go join the Shias, or you want to join some other group. Understand? You tell me Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said three talaq is one. We love Ibn Taymiyyah, but remember we will not take his verdict anywhere when it collides with A'imma Arba. Why? This is academic discussion, ulama, ikram, and all the brothers. If you understood this, it's a big chapter to understand. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, great scholar. We got no problem with that. Some places he made mistakes, and this is one of his mistakes. Now, his greatest and celebrated student is Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. I have the book in my possession, there in home. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah writes, Ikhtiyarat Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, where Ibn Taymiyyah went against the entire Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. One. In that book, he broke it up into different chapters. Where Ibn Taymiyyah went against A'imma Arba, the four schools. Where Ibn Taymiyyah went against the Hanbali school. This is Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah in his book Ikhtiyarat, 103, 104 Masail he wrote where Ibn Taymiyyah went alone. I want to ask you the question. Is it safer for you to follow A'imma Arba'a or to go with that person who deviated and went on his own, despite his greatness? You think about it. One. Second one, Ibn Taymiyyah is on top. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah is second. Ibn Rajab Hanbali is third. Ibn Rajab Hanbali is a student of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. I have this book also. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali wrote, in those days obviously, Al-Khuruj anil a'immatil arba'a, to leave the four schools and go do something else, la yajuz, is not permissible. In this day and this age, we must remember we have to stick to the four schools. Otherwise, we will run into serious problems. I give you one example of the talaq. The harm of not following the four schools. Second one. You go to the Shafi's, you go to the Malikis, Hanafis, Hanbalis, Tarawih time. And what do you see? Each one of them agree on minimum 20 rakats or more. Imam Malik got 36 rakats and all that. What with 39 rakats. So anyway, you must remember, now we come to our some brothers. They say, no, we want to be freelancers. So now we just read 8 rakats. Go to the Muslim countries, go to the Arab countries, and see what the joke has become. The whole Taraweeh Salat is finished. You must remember, in 10, 15, 20 minutes, everything finished. The harm of that has happened. Our beloved country, South Africa, we don't say this with pride. We say this tahdithun li ni'mah. To thank Almighty Allah for His bounty upon us here. As Maulana mentioned, you go to any dorpi, any small town, you go to a city, you will find hundreds of huffaz. And you go to the Arab countries, you go to the Muslim countries, you will find very, very few hafiz. Why? Because you don't even read in that 8 rakats the complete Quran. Go and study. Go and study the whole Arab world. You will hardly find 20%, 25% of the total amount of masajid where they complete the entire Quran in Ramadan. So what have you done? Is that your service of Islam? The greatest miracle of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the Quran Kareem. and the month of Ramadan is Shahrul Quran, and you don't want to read 20 rakats, you read 8 rakats and then sit with your lazy boy and watch TV. And you say, I'm following Quran and Sunnah. Is that Quran and Sunnah? You see the mockery you make. So there's a second example. Third example. Yesterday or 2 days ago, I had this question on air. The sister phoned and said, we went to Palestine, we went yay and then, I don't know. We were reading Salat. And the ladies objected, your Salat is wrong and that, big noise and this. So we listened. So I said, fine. I said, sister, now listen. We belong to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We take our cue from Quran, from the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam. You want reference? The Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood, Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, has brought the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past two ladies and told them, إِذَا سَجَدْتُمَا فَضُمَّا بَعْضَ اللَّحْمِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ لَيْسَتْ كَالرَّجُلْ فِي ذَلِكَ. That when a woman reads Salat, she must not lift up her posterior like how the men do. Islam is based on haya, shame and modesty. So even in your posture of Salat, you must have that shame and modesty. So therefore, according to A'imma Arba'a, you go to Al-Fiqh Al-Madhaib Al-Arba'a, you go to Al-Fiqh Al-Islami wa Dillatu, you will find all the Madhaib with the Dalail and evidence there. There's a definite difference and distinction. But today people want to say, no, Bukhari Sharif hadith say, Swallu kamara aytumuni uswalli. Then Nabi alayhi salam said, read Salat like how I read Salat, finish, everybody must read. How come you left all those ahadith out? They say, no, the hadith is da'if, is weak. So I asked, what is your hadith? He said, our hadith is in Bukhari. I say, where in Bukhari? He said, Umm Darda. So you say, fine. Umm Darda's hadith tells us, Kajil sati rajul. That which means that she sat in Salat like the men sat. I ask you a question. Is it better to take the action of a Sahabiya or is it better to take a hadith walau kana da'ifa? Is it better to take a hadith that is weak or is better to take the action of a Sahabiya? What do you think is better? Obviously the hadith is better. But you see, when you move away from the madhahib, then you get entangled in all these type of things here. Understand this? So many examples that I can give. They say, okay, now I raise the other angle, the other perspective. Objections on taqleed, objections on following these imams and so forth. So, you know, with awam, with public, they say Allah is one, Nabi alayhi salatu salam is one, our Qibla is one, our Quran is one. So why must we have all this now? Q&A, the Shafi said this, and the Maliki said that, and this said this, and Amal. Just show us one finish and clap. So I say, but you yourself said the Quran is one. So we show you one verse of the Quran. Wa Dawood wa Sulaiman idh yahkumani fil harth. Is one incident. The animals came, the goat, sheep, and they ran amok in a farm. They went to Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, he passed the verdict. Then they went to Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, he passed a different verdict. One incident. These are not ordinary mortals like me and you. These are prophets and messengers. Two different verdicts given for one issue mentioned in the Quran. What will you say then, my brother? One incident, two different verdicts by Anbiya. Allah mentioned it in the noble Quran. So what will you say then? See what Allah says. وَكُلَّنْ آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَإِلْمًا. We gave all of them knowledge, we gave all of them wisdom, everything. Yes, nearer to the truth was Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. فَفَهَمْنَاهَا Sulaiman. The profound understanding we gave Nabi Sulaiman. Just to digress 1 minute. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, when he reconstructed Masjid al-Aqsa, he made 3 du'as. رَبِّ هَبْلِي مُلْكَ اللَّهِ يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّنْ بَعْدِي. Ya Allah, that way, give me such a kingdom that no one must get such a kingdom after me. And Allah accepted this dua. Second dua, see, uwati'u hukmi hukmak. Whenever I pass a verdict, Ya Allah, it must concur and agree with your judgment. In English, what we say, when you face a difficulty, then you unravel this knot with the wisdom of Solomon. You need the wisdom of Solomon to unravel this knot. Hikmat to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Imagine. So that is the barakat of Masjid al-Aqsa. You brothers, sisters going, inshallah, Aqsa, they'd say, I can't go now. I talk too much against them. When I went now, I came from this side, and Obama came from that side. So this President Obama came. So they take me inside there, and they keep me for 5 hours. And they finish me up. They tell me in big trouble. They tell me like that. So I say, why am I in trouble? They say, you visit this country. I say, I'm a scholar, so I must visit. You know. A long story cut short, they don't allow me. Man ata hadhal bayt la yuridu illa salata fi. Whoever comes here to Masjid al-Aqsa, no ulterior motive, but to read salat here, kharaja min zunubihi kayomin waladatu ummu. So pure and cleansed you are like the day your biological mother gave birth to you. The hadith in Mustadrak Hakim, Sahih Ibn Khuzaimah, various kitabs. So you see Sulaiman alayhi salam. What you will say then? Second objection. They say yes, but you'll say Imam Abu Hanifa said it's halal. Imam Shafi said it's halal. Imam Malik said it's haram. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. You're making them the one who make halal haram. So that is what Quran is condemning. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. The Jews and the Christians, they took their clergy and their rabbis and they made them God. Adi bin Hatim radiallahu anhu came. And he came with the crucifix, with the salib, you know, with the cross. So Nabi alayhi salam told him, you must take this out. So he took it out. He embraced Islam. Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, the Quran says this, that ahbarahum wa ruhbanahum arbabam min dunillah. But we don't take them. We never used to believe that they are gods. So Nabi alayhi salam said, when they make something halal, don't you believe it's halal? They said, yes. When they say something haram, now understand this objection and the answer. Objection is, they use this Quranic verse against us who follow any school, that we are taking them as gods, as legislators. We say totally wrong. I give you an easy example. The Pope this week addressed the Catholic nations and told them abortion is non-negotiable. The Pope in Catholicism, in Christian church, in the Catholic church, is a legislator. He's a shari'. He has the power to make halal and haram. In Islam, that power is vested only, solely with Almighty Allah. Even Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not have that. Ya ayyuhan Nabi, lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu lak. O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why did you make haram that which Almighty Allah made halal? When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have that, then how can Imam Abu Hanifa, Shafi, Malik, Imam Ahmad, these great imams? Nobody. If you understood Arabic, the Pope, the Rabbi, the clergy, Ashari', Sheen, Alif, Ra'in, the legislators. We say Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, Ashari' bilha. They elaborate and explain. Listen to the wonderful statement of Imam Shafi rahimahullah. Jami'u ma taquluhu al-a'imma. Whatever the scholars and the jurors are saying, sharhul lis-sunnah. It is an elaboration, explanation of the sunnah. Wa jami'u ma taquluhu as-sunnah, sharhul lil-Qur'an. And whatever the sunnah is teaching us is an elaboration, explanation, commentary of the Qur'an Kareem. So it is explanation, not legislation. Big difference there is between. Next objection, they say that why don't you follow Nabi alayhi salam? Even on age, just now the question came. That why don't you follow Nabi alayhi salam and you're following Imam Malik and Imam Shafi and all Imam? I said, no. When I say I follow the Maliki school or Hanafi school or Shafi school, it does not mean I'm following Imam Abu Hanifa or Imam Shafi and then per se. No. We're following the Quran. We're following the Sunnah as understood by this great scholar. You see the difference? So we have that confidence in them because they live in Khairul Qurun. Nabi alayhi salatu salam's time was the greatest, then Sahaba, then Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in. So Imam Abu Hanifa was a Tabi'i. Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad came after that Tabi'i. So it shows we have that confidence in them. So we are not following them per se, we are following the explanation according to Quran and Sunnah of them. Two, three other points, my brothers, why we have to follow a madhab is, we must understand the wisdom. It is a, today if you look at knowledge, people say follow Quran and Sunnah. I say, okay, let me test you. How much do you know of Quran? Half of these people cannot look inside the Quran Sharif and read. Many of them are not even Hafiz. If they are Hafiz, how many of them even know the words of the Quran? Just put the ayats of inheritance and tell them to explain. You'll see if the wuzu breaks or not. So you must remember this then. Okay, you say you know hadith. Okay. Come, I test you 10 hadiths. Give me the chain of transmission. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail used to sit. And he used to sit in the dars, in the lesson of Ali ibn al-Madini. Listen to these two statements. Imam Bukhari says, I could like challenge every teacher, not because of pride, but you know, we discuss academically. مَسْتَزْغَرْتُ نَفْسِي إِلَّا إِنْدَ Ali ibn al-Madini. But when I sat in the dars, in the lesson of Ali ibn al-Madini, it was an ocean of knowledge. Ali ibn al-Madini said, "Ilmu al-Rijal nisfu ilmi al-Hadith." To know the men, to know the Rawis, to know the reporters of Hadith, that is half the knowledge of Hadith. When we ask this person, you say you know Hadith. Tell me how many sanad you know. He doesn't even know the silsila to Zahab, the golden chain. Malik and Nafi and Ibn Umar, that also they don't know. Now go back in our glorious history. There was Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahimahullah. Sheikh Albani, who I met personally, and I got it on tape. Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah, said, لَمْ يُولَدْ مِثْلَهُ بَعْدَهُ. There will never be another Ibn Hajar in this world. But he himself, profound knowledge, but he followed the Shafi'i school. When they had such knowledge, yet they followed Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Then you come to Imam Ghazali. Such a giant, but he is following Imam Shafi'i. Ibn Hummam, rahimahullah, giant of his time, but he's following the Hanafi madhab. So you see, when you look at the world, today you go, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, who addressed you here, when he came to Darul Newcastle, he made it clear, Ana Hanafiyun, I follow the Hanafi school. So these people who have so much knowledge, Quran, Sunnah, but yet they say, no, we must follow these schools. Me and you today, who got 1 inch, 1 centimeter, 1 millimeter, whatever you want to say, 1 drop of their knowledge, and now we want to say, no, we are freelancers, we don't have to follow a school. So is that not a recipe for disaster? You will end up like that person, and we saw this with our own life, in our own life. A person, he touch a woman, by mistake, he say, no, I'm Hanafi, because Hanafi, the wuzu don't break. Then he touches private part. Now according to Shafi's, the wuzu will break. Then he'll say, no, I'm Hanafi. Then when blood come out from here, the hand or toe or something, he say, no, I'm Shafi. So what you did end of the day, you played with the deen of Almighty Allah. وَذَرِ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا. Leave those people who play with the deen. Deen you can't play with. So my brothers, these were just important aspects I gave. Therefore, I appeal to you from the bottom of my heart, and I say this openly on Channel Islam, Radio Ansar, Voice of the Cape, all the radios I speak on, alhamdulillah. In this day and this age, remember we agree with all the ulama who say it is wajib and compulsory to follow one school and not we go jumping around. Yes, we have respect for all of them. How much respect we get? I myself. I made it a mission of my life, alhamdulillah. I said, I will visit all 4 Khulafa's graves. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu buried in Madinah Munawwara. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu buried there. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu buried in Baqi. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu buried in Iraq. I made sure I go there. 4 Imams, I said, 100% I must stand by their grave and give salam and say, Allah, that bless them and elevate them to the highest rank. And give us a small portion of their knowledge. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, born in 150. He passed away in 204. He entered Cairo in 199. When we went to Cairo, we went to his grave. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahimullah, born in the year 80. He passed away 150. And he's buried in Azamiyah. Go to Azamiyah, you will see Imam Hanifa's grave there. The story Maulana mentioned, Imam Shafi came to Azamiyah. Fajr time, he didn't make kunut. They asked him why, he pointed to it. Ta'ziman li sahibi hadhal qabr. When you go to Baghdad, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal's grave is there near the Tigris River. And who's buried next to him? The sage of the age, Bishr-e Hafi, is buried there. So we went to his grave. Imam Malik Rahimullah is buried in Baqi. I made sure we must go to all four. So you must remember, we love them. Until today, we make dua for them. They ask, I give you one incident and finish then. So that you can ask after the floor is open. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was asked, tell us who Shafi is. You see, you ask me of Shafi. A Shafi'i ka shamsi li dunya. You see, when the sun rises, the world is illuminated. When Shafi came, I am 56 now, next year, 2014, I'll be 57. Imam Shafi was only 54 years old. But look at his legacy. A Shafi'i ka shamsi li dunya. He was like the sun. He illuminated the whole world. He's part of Ahlul Bayt. He's part of the family of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand? Go read Diwan-e Shafi'i. His poetry was a master of the Arabic language. In kana rifdan, in kana rifdan, hubbu ali Muhammadi, fal yashhadi thakalan, anni rafidhi. If Shia'ism, if hypothetically Shia'ism and that was truly loving Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam family, then let human being and jinnat bear testimony. I, Muhammad bin Idris, am also a Shia. You understand what he's saying? They lie that they love Nabi alayhi salam's family. So therefore, I'm not a Shia. I'm 100% Ahlu Sunnah. You understood? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, said, his student, greatest student of Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. You students, your teacher is Hazrat Maulana, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Hazrat Qari Sahib, Hazrat Qutb Sahib, Hazrat Das, Hazrat... We just finish, he finished Alim Sahib. We don't even make salam, we run away. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, says, Ma bittu, I never slept for 30 years. Before sleeping, I used to cry and make dua for my honorable teacher, Imam Shafi, rahimahullah. You understand what is knowledge, brothers? So therefore, we must never forget. I beg you, brothers, we live in time of fitna and fasad. And I make this statement very, very clearly on Channel Islam. The biggest fitna we're facing in South Africa, and Africa and most parts of the world today, is the fitna of the Shias and the fitna. My nephew is here somewhere, Maulana Ismail. When I came the last time, 3-4 weeks, I can't remember also, I was in Cape Town. I just tell you quickly. So now I had to address a Muslim school, they took me there. So I looked at the name, I see Ottery. I say, isn't the Shia center here? They say, yes. They all know my voice, but they don't know me. So I say, come, we go. I just took those two youngsters. I say, come with me. I say, Muni Halasay as Mufti AKD. You know? Don't go tell them it's Mufti AK Halasal, the AK-47-85, you know? You understand what? So I just tell them, just keep quiet. So we go, it was just before Muharram started, before Ashura. So we go there, it's 10 o'clock Friday morning. So we walk in there. Assalamu alaikum. We saw one brother there. I said, brother, how are you? What's this tent here? He said, no, you know, it's Ashura and a lot of people and the food. Very good. I say, I believe you got a lot of books here. He said, yes. I say, I want to see these books. I say, you know, I come all the way from Joburg. I want to read about Shia. So he said, no, very good, very good. So he gave me 3 books. I gave all the references to my nephew, Maulana Ismail. I say, go give it there. The Ustad also wanted it. So go give it there. What things in our country they're distributing, swearing, vilifying, criticizing the greatest people who walked on this earth after the prophets and messengers, the fitna of the Shias. They will tell you, you don't have to follow all this. You just follow Ahlul Bayt. They lie in that. You must remember. Second is the fitna of the Salafis. Who are the Salafis? When we speak of Salaf as Salih, our pious predecessors, we don't. They out of. That are Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Tabi'in, A'imma Mujtahideen, the Awliyaullah. We got no problem. Today Salafi, freelancer. He says, no way you come with all this. Go to Quran, go to Sunnah. This is hadith da'if. You must leave it out. This hadith weak. Leave it out. So I asked them one question. I say, you believe in Bukhari Sharif? 100%. I say, okay. That same Imam Muhammad bin Ismail, he wrote Al-Adabul Mufrad. When he wrote Al-Adabul Mufrad, I went to Sheikh Albani, Rahimahullah, and I told him, Sheikh, honest, he was very sick, very ill. I told him, Sheikh, I can go buy your kitabs in the market. I got some of them. But I want you must give me. He said, fine. So he told his one khadim there. He said, give him Tahreemu Alati Tarb, the on music and all, why is haram, and give him that book, Sahihu Al-Adab Al-Mufrad and Da'if Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. Imam Bukhari never knew that weak hadiths you mustn't have. Just take it and throw it away. You understand what I'm saying? In Sahih al-Bukhari, he took Sahih ahadith. When it came to fadail and virtues, even Imam Bukhari, Amirul Mu'minin fil hadith, did not have that same criteria that he had for Sahih Bukhari. And therefore, Sheikh Albani made two parts of it, and he gave it to me personally. So when you say, this kitab we can't accept, weak hadith, this hadith we can't accept, so do you have to take Imam Bukhari's work also and say, throw it away? You understood the harm you're doing? I ask you two questions. When Allah forbid, is a terrible example. This person took out his AK-47 and he shot his father. Can he inherit from his father? Can he inherit? The hadith, Al-Qatilu la yarithu. Al-Qatilu la yarithu, the person who murders, the person from whom he's inheriting, then he does not inherit. Right? All four schools accept it. If you look at it from a hadith perspective, the hadith is weak. But why everybody accepts it? There's ta'amul on it. All the ulama, fuqaha, practice on it and accepted it. So it shows you have to understand the fiqh of it. Quran says, when you go out to study, لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. You must get tafaqquh in deen. So that is our message, brothers. Final conclusion, your chance will come now. Brothers, it is wajib, compulsory upon us that we have to follow one school. Whether you follow the Shafi school, Malik school, Hanbali school, we got no problem with that. But once you move away, then remember you are walking on a path that is very, very slippery, and you will end up following your desires, and then it is straight passage to hell if you look at what Quran is teaching us. And you will start looking for every loophole. There was a scholar, he's buried in Beirut, Imam Ozai. Imam Ozai, rahimullah, was called Imam Ahli Sham, the Imam of Syria, Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon. Imam Ozai, I went to his grave also in Beirut. Allama Zahabi has mentioned the statement in Tazkiratul Huffaz, Man akhadha bin nawadiril ulama, faqad kharaja anil Islam. You start taking all the rare verdicts of the ulama, you will end up out of the fold of Islam. Now next week, or I don't know when, there's one big music festival coming to Durban. Tomorrow night in Cape Town. And this, I heard it now, on the radio, the advertising and this, you know, Voice of the Cape. So this type of thing. So you must remember, people, what is music? These Maulvis and Muftis, they just talk. I know Ibn Hazm. Suddenly Ibn Hazm's name comes. Say, Ibn Hazm says jaiz. Say, subhanallah. He just picked up one English kitab and said, Ibn Hazm said, that is the fear. When you leave, you will look for loopholes. And when you start looking for loopholes, then slowly. Therefore, Allama Imam Ozai said, when you start taking that aqwal and verdicts that are rare and, you know, bordering, so then that person, this fear, he might leave the fold of Islam also. So may Almighty Allah protect our iman. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala keep us with the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And may Almighty Allah protect us from the makar and frame and doka and the deception of the shaitan and all the enemies of Islam.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.